Welcome to the Washington Church Toledo podcast. Together, we are learning to encourage one another to walk with God through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. This podcast consists of recordings from our Sunday morning worship services and other teaching events that you are more than welcome to come join us live.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you all. Okay, with our family service, I got to make some space up here. You guys are going to act, we're going to have a play this morning. I know, right? Pretty awesome. So I need the kiddos to come up here and join me up on stage. You guys can sit all up here if you want to. You're going to help me tell a story that I think most people have heard, but, you know, when you get a Washington Church retelling of that story, it always turns out different. It's always better, you know, fill in some of those details. Okay, so we are in 1 John, and we've been talking about the book of 1 John and how John is writing to churches, and he's trying to teach them about who Jesus is and really help them understand what Jesus is like and how much Jesus loves everyone, loves people. And he wants them to have a good, healthy understanding of who he is, because it makes a big difference. If we have a healthy understanding of who Jesus is, it changes how we live our lives and how we see ourselves. It's all interconnected. So I'm going to read from the scriptures first, and then I'm going to get some help and some volunteers, and then I'm going to talk about kind of the main thing that John talks about. So we're going to put it up on the screens up here. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up and join me in 1 John chapter 3 is where we're going to be at. We're going to start in verse 10. Okay? So this is what God's word says for us this morning. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one, who murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Okay, first question I have for you guys is, how many of you guys have brothers? Okay. How would you describe your relationship with your brother? What would you say?
Sometimes he's annoying, but other times he's funny. And I sometimes I like playing with him. Sometimes it's really confusing sometimes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Did you want to have a comment? I'll let you.
He's good.
Okay, I think you were influenced there. How about, what would you say? How would your relationship with your brother?
Annoying.
Okay.
A little mean.
A little mean, okay.
He makes very bad jokes.
Sometimes we like each other, sometimes we don't.
Yeah, that's about right. And any other brothers, comments? Huh? Anybody else about your brothers? No? Okay. So it's very common to exactly what you guys said. So there's good, there's bad, there's encouraging things, there's hard things. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a story of brothers this morning that John talks about. But before we get to that, I need some volunteers to help me. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, if you're volunteering, stand up and you're going to go with Mrs. Poles that way, and we're going to see you in a couple minutes, okay? All right. The rest of you guys, what I want to do is talk to you a little bit about love just for a moment, because we see in this main passage that the main thing that John is talking about is love, because he says that. He says that you are to love in verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What do you guys think it means to love each other? What would you say? How would you describe love? What do you think? Fun. That's a great word. Love it. What else? What ways have people loved you? How about that? Can you think of a way that somebody's loved you? With kindness?
Hugging.
I love that one. That's so good. We all need more hugging. What else? What are ways? How about this? Do any of you have moms that make you food? Do you feel loved then? How about, here's something that's amazing. In my house, somehow this happens. I don't know how it works. But I put all my dirty clothes down this laundry chute. And then I go down, and downstairs, they're folded and clean in a basket every time. And it's such a mystery to me. I don't know what happens down there, but something happens between the dropping and me going down to the basement. And I'm really kind of afraid to go and look. I don't want to mess with that at all. And so I just, every time I go down there, I feel loved because I pick up my basket, I take it upstairs, and my clothes are clean and fresh. It's amazing. Do you guys, how about you guys? Do you guys have that experience? Do your clothes get cleaned? Who does that? Who does? Is that a way of loving? Okay. So there's so many different ways to love. So I want to share a couple of thoughts on love with you, and then we'll get into this story. Love is actually something that you consciously do. Love is actually an action. It's something we do, and we share it with each other. It's beautiful. John talks about this a little bit later. We're going to have some people teach us about this in a couple Sundays when we get to chapter 4. In 1 John 4:8, it says that God is love. Did you guys know that? That at the end of the day, the number one main description of understanding God is love. That's what he says. He tells us, the best way to understand me is love. And so any form of love that you would experience, you're actually experiencing God. Did you know that? So when I get to experience my clean clothes, that's the love of God. When your parents make you food, that's love. When you love each other, that's love. Because John later says in verse 7 that love comes from God. And there's a form of love that we are invited to live into, and we could, because we can all love, but we can't all love in the way that God loves unless God loves through us. Does that make sense? So actually, the love of God, who is exactly who God is, he wants to share that with us, and he uses us to love others. That's what he says, which is really beautiful. But we have to consciously choose to kind of tap into that love and to love others. The other verse I wanted to share with you guys comes from Ephesians 5:2, and I'll put it up on the screen. This is Paul. He's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says to them, walk in the way of love, he says. I love that illustration. And in the Hebrew, the understanding of walk is to like live your life. And so what he's saying is live your life in a way that you love. How many of you guys would love to do that? To live your life in a way of love. That's what he actually says that we are to be doing. Okay, and then he goes on to an example. He says this in verse 12. Do not be like Cain. Do you guys know who Cain is? How many of you guys know who Cain is? Who's Cain? He killed his brother. Yeah, talk about a hard relationship. That would be tough if your brother killed you. Okay. It sounded like they had a tough relationship, but John uses this story about Cain and another guy named his brother named Abel. And so we're going to go back. This story takes place in Genesis chapter 4. So are you guys ready to have our play? Okay, so what I need you to do is scooch back a little bit. We're going to make room because the actors in our play are going to come up here and they're going to stand on the stage. Okay, so create some space for them. You can back up if you want. So just turn and face. Okay. So I'm going to read the story, and as I read this story, our actors are going to act out the stories. Are our actors ready? They need one more minute. Okay, I will improvise as they get ready. Actually, are Adam and Eve ready by chance? They're not ready either. Okay. All right. Well, as I go to Genesis chapter 4, we're going to give them a little bit more time. Okay. Let me think. What can we talk about while we're waiting for all these people to get ready? What do you think? Oh, what are other examples of love? Patience. That's a good one. What else? Keep no record of wrong. What else? What else do we, what other ways of we love each other? Spending time together. Love it. Listening. That's a great way to love. Forgiveness. Yeah, that's good too. Love it. Caring for one another. Yeah. Those are all great examples. Oh, Adam and Eve are ready. Come on up, Adam and Eve. I would like for you all to welcome Adam and Eve to the stage. Come on up here. Perfect. Are we pretty close to the other characters in this story as well? Okay. Okay. All right, here we go. Come on up, other characters in the story. When it's your turn, yep, come on in. Welcome, welcome. Go ahead and sit right there on the stage. We'll get to you in a minute. It won't take long. All right. Okay, here we go. This is the story. And as I read the story, you guys got to act it out. Okay? Do the best you can to act it out. So the story starts with Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve, you guys got to stand up so everybody can see you. Perfect. Here's Adam and Eve. It says, Adam loved his wife. You can give her a hug or something. How about that? There you go. Oh, there. That's good. Okay. And then she became pregnant. And she gave birth to a son. His name was Cain. Okay, Cain, jump up here. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Okay, Abel, come on up. Okay, now we have a family of four. Now, okay, so Adam and Eve, you guys get to go sit down over there by God. All right, here we go. Now, Abel kept flocks. Okay, you got your flock? Perfect. There's some more down there. You can keep them too. Okay. And Cain worked the soil. Okay, Cain, you got to work the soil. How do you work the soil? Yeah, there you go. Work it. Good job. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Okay? Okay, God, we need you to come up here. Okay, so bring some of the fruits of the soil to the Lord. Very good. Thank you. Okay? And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Wow, good job. There's a bigger one down there. It's a little chubbier. You can give that one. That'd be better. Okay. The Lord looked on favor on Abel and his offering. Okay. Maybe a thumbs up. High five. Good job, Abel. Okay. But on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. Oh, that's tough. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. What's an angry face look like, Cain? Yeah, stomp on that foot. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. Go ahead and say it. Let's go out to the field. I wouldn't want to go out to the field either. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Oh, oh, wow. Wow, that is really, that is a major death right there. Good job. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? Where is your brother Abel? And Cain said, I don't know. I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Then the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. You're dead, Abel. You're dead. You had your chance. You're dead. which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Ooh, you gotta be a restless wanderer. How do you do that? You gotta wander around restlessly. Okay, have a seat. Now, when we look at this story, basically what John is saying is he's talking about being righteous and loving people and not doing what is right. And he uses this illustration of Cain, and Cain kind of symbolizes sin. And if you read back through commentaries or the early church fathers, they're not nice to Cain. Cain is kind of this archetype for doing what is not righteous or doing what is not right or not of God. And you have this story of this family, and here's what's fascinating. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and then Adam and Eve chose to make a poor choice in order to try and better themselves to be more like God. But really, God would have given them anything that they wanted, anything that they desired. He would have given them what they needed along the way. It was kind of this relational journey, and they weren't ready yet to receive what God had for them, but they kind of jumped forward. And in doing that, the relationship between God and Adam and Eve was fractured, and so they had to leave the garden. And after they left the garden is when they had their children. And we see in this story an illustration of what comes out of a relationship that's fractured from God. And we see that either you can have the potential to do evil or the potential to do good. And both came out of Adam and Eve. And I think both reside in us as well. We have the potential to do harmful things and not helpful things and sinful things, and we have the potential to worship God and love God. Now, the story is a little confusing because you look and you see that both men offered something to the Lord, but for some reason, it was Abel's offering that the Lord received and loved. Does anybody know why that was? Why did God receive Abel's offering and not Cain's? What do you think? Okay, yeah. So we see that somehow, what's interesting, there's a lot of details in this story we don't know. That God never asked them to offer a sacrifice, which I think is really fascinating. They just did it on their own. And it seems like Abel's heart was in the right place when he offered the sacrifice, and Cain's heart wasn't. It was kind of, like you said, out of spite. And In the Jewish culture, it's really fascinating. The Jews will teach when it comes to coming before the Lord, two things are necessary, sacrifice and worship. And the Jews believe that God taught them how to sacrifice through Moses, because Moses was given the instructions on the sacrificial system. But when it came to worship, they believed that worship came from David and the Psalms, and that both of those things are necessary, sacrifice and worship, and that Abel came with sacrifice and worship, but Cain did not come with those things. And so we have this invitation around love, which is really fascinating. What do we do with this love? But here's the irony. Whenever you're in a relationship with somebody else, it's an invitation to love. Did you guys know that? If you have a relationship with your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or your uncles or your aunts or your grandparents, it's always an invitation to love. But here's the challenge. Are all those relationships easy? No. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they flow. What do you do when you have a hard relationship or you disagree with your mom and dad? What do you guys do? You go to your room? What do you do? You can pray about it. What else? What do you guys do when you have a hard, when your parents tell you something you don't like or it's frustrating? What do? How do you handle that? Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, thus the story of the Bible, right? We know what we should do, but oftentimes we do what we want to do. But here's what I want to share with you. Remember we were talking about love earlier and how love comes from God because God is love? This is what I want to invite you to do this week, and I'm going to invite all of us to do it as we think about it, so we leave this place and kind of wrap this up. I want us to begin to see relationships as an opportunity to work on loving. So here's the irony. When things get hard, it's actually an opportunity or an invitation from God. How many of you guys know what invitations are? How many of you guys have ever gotten in? I printed out this invitation. Do you guys recognize this? A birthday party invitation. Like, who doesn't get excited when you get a birthday party invitation in the mail to go to a friend's house? From Google. I Googled it. I haven't gotten a birthday party invitation in a long time, so I had to go on Google to find one. This is actually to Fern's house. I've never been there before, but it's Saturday, July 8th, but there's no address. So I don't think I'm going to go, but I don't know what I'm doing on July 8th yet. But if we get an invitation, usually it's an exciting thing, right? We want to go do it. We want to say yes to it. But what if we began to look at our relationships in those moments when they're hard as an invitation from the Lord? Because here's the invitation. The invitation is always to love, no matter what. It's always to love. And love looks different. We talked about that. But if you begin to see the hardships that you have in your life, maybe the strained relationships, or for those of you who go to work every day, your coworkers, right? Or your spouses, for those of you who are married, to work on when things get hard or don't go your way, how can you look at that opportunity as an invitation to love? Because if we begin to do that, we ask the Lord, Lord, would you help us? Would you help me to love? God actually honors that and will begin to love through you. And then here's what happens. As you do that, God begins to change your heart and change your life to be more like him. And the other thing that's really neat is he actually begins to not only change you, but he changes the person that you're in relationship with. So both those things are good things because God works through those things. So at the end of the day, God is inviting us always to love, always, always to love. That should be our default response as followers of Jesus. In fact, Jesus says that to his disciples. He says, this is the new commandment that I give to you, to love each other. The most important of all the commandments he gave is what he says, to love. So that's what we want to do. So what are ways that we could work on loving this week? What do you guys think? Before we pray together, a couple suggestions. What can we do if we're in a situation where we need God's help to love somebody? Yeah. Okay. If you're having a bad day and your friend might be having a bad day because of you, that's definitely an opportunity to love. What else? No? Okay. So I think somebody mentioned it already, stopping and asking the Lord for help, right? Praying. Say, Lord, would you help me? So let's do that right now, okay? Let's stop and ask the Lord to help us be better at loving the people he puts into our lives. So let's pray. Father, would you help us? Would you teach us how to love? Would you teach us how to be people who are loving? Thank you for how much you love us. Thank you that you gave us your son Jesus to die for us so that we could be made right with you. Father, we want to be better people who love others because that's what you tell us to do. And so would we embrace you as love, and would we allow that love to flow through us so that we may love others? And we thank you for even the ability and the access to do that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we're doing, email us at office@washingtonchurch.org or go to our website, washingtonchurch.org.